Welcome back to Christian Leaders Institute. This is a class Reading and Writing for College Students. And we are going to begin Unit 3, Process Learning and Reading. And today we want to talk about the enemy of learning. Now, many of you have probably been like me, and there's been various subjects or books that we've struggled with trying to read. I remember there was one, I believe it was called The Pickwick Papers. It was a French novel that was translated into English, and it was about that thick, and it had dialogues that went on for pages with no clue as to who was speaking unless you went back and counted person A, person B, person A, person B, for several pages, then you could figure it out. That is the only book that I've ever picked up that I never finished reading. And that is was a problem for me. I probably should have stuck it out. That's true. But it is a problem. Now, if you remember, I'm Sky Pike. I should not have that problem because I'm supposed to be an academic intellectual. But obviously, I'm not that academic or intellectual when it came to the Pickwick Papers. So, but there are enemies of learning that we all have. And we want to talk about some of the common ones today that many of us face, especially when we're talking about theology and talking about reading the Bible. And just reading in general. So students, if we review, we have to learn to read well. And to read well, we have to engage. We have to understand the meaning of words. We have to understand how they relate to us. We have to understand the meanings of the words and the systems of meanings of the words and how they connect to other things. Out within the text itself and outside the text. And then we have to start a dialogue between ourselves and the author. Now we have to construct that dialogue, but we do have to have that dialogue where we're saying, do I believe that? Is that something? Oh, that's cool. I never thought of it that way before. Oh, that's a new way of thinking about that. I wonder if that fits in with how I'm thinking about this. Or I wonder, you know what? That's actually a better way to think about that particular thing than what I thought about it. The data they give, the information they give is really relevant to this topic. And is in fact, you know what? Their rationale is actually better. That's the type of intellectual work that reading is. It's work. Let's be honest with us. To read something well is work. And the more difficult it is to want to read a subject, like I said, did with this Pickwick paper books, the more work it is. But there are things we have to do because of our love for someone else, or because it's our job, or because it is an expectation that we have to meet. So it's the intellectual work is going to connect new ideas, already learned ideas, and it's going to sometimes correct mistaken ideas. Remember that in 1 Timothy, Paul writes that the scripture is profitable for reproving people, for correcting people, for instruction in righteousness. Especially when it comes to the scripture, if the Bible says something is wrong, then we have to say it's wrong too. I remember one time I was in a Christian group, and this was at a time when several people were against the idea of predestination. And they said, well, predestination doesn't happen. And I said to them, but it must happen. The Bible specifically uses that word predestination to tell us what God does. Now, because God's infinite and we're not, how he does it and the way he actually, the details of it, we can discuss. We should not argue. We should discuss. But the fact that God predestinates is correct. The scripture says it clearly. How he does that, that's a matter of theological discussion. But because the scripture says he predestinates, we have to at some point say he does it. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And so those people that stated that had to correct their idea about at least there is a concept of predestination. The same is true when we're reading other types of works. I remember when I was in graduate school, I was in a biochemistry lab, and we had written an article on a new enzyme, a new protein we had discovered, and we missed something that was very important about that enzyme, and we should have seen it, but we didn't. And we, as the students, were down in the lab complaining about this other group because another group had written a paper and pointed out that we were wrong. And our boss, our advisor, Dr. Appling, came down and he said, this other group is right. We were wrong. We should have missed it. It doesn't matter who is right. It doesn't matter what they said or we said. What matters is the truth. And I've always admired that particular person would say, it's okay to be wrong. The truth is what is important. That particular professor happens to be a Christian as well. And for us as Christians, we have to be concerned very much about the truth, that what we are teaching, what we are believing, what we are saying is truth. And if someone comes up to us and says something that proves that what we're believing is untrue, especially if it's from the scripture, we have to submit to that, to the truth, and say, I was wrong. God is never wrong, but we are. This is one enemy of learning that we have, is when we do not want to have our mistakes corrected with the truth when necessary. There are other enemies of learning as well. One of these enemies of learning is when we get distractions. Now, I know how easy it is to get distracted. I am one that gets distracted. I am very much distracted by things. I like to listen to music sometimes. But sometimes when I'm reading something that's serious, I cannot have the music on because it's a distraction. I like to talk to people, but sometimes I cannot talk to people because it is a distraction from the things that I'm reading and that I should be doing. My mind is very all over the place. It will be on one thing. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you that I am 1,000 places in my mind at once. But when I have to think on a topic, when I'm reading something, I have to be focused on that article or else I will not comprehend it. It's like this picture we see in front of us here where this guy is, his head's all over the place. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. I'm imagining, I don't see it, but I'm imagining that he actually has a cell phone in his pocket that's maybe ringing with text or got his favorite YouTube video on or something like that. He's distracted by other things. He's looking at it and, I don't know. And so it's not focusing on the reading. Another way we could look at this, though, which would not be distraction, which is actually not an enemy, is that he's looking at the reading from different viewpoints. And that's okay to do. But to do looking at it from different viewpoints, we can't have distractions in our way. And we have to be always be cognizant that we want the truth in the matter. Truth is important, especially to those of us who are Christians. There is another enemy of learning, and that is something called the vague reader or the impressionist reader. I was in a Bible study the other day, and we were reading in the book of Romans. And there is a definite, clear logic that Paul puts out in the book of Romans, clearly showing that humans are fallen into sin, and doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, we are all under sin, and that only Christ can save us from that. As these people were reading through this Bible study, they were saying, well, I think this means something. This verse really impresses me. This verse really stood out to me as something. They were talking about their feelings of the text, their impressions of the text, and picking out a verse here and a verse there and a verse over here. And they were completely missing Paul's logic as he went through that text of understanding what chapter 1 was about, what chapter 2 is about, what chapter 3 is about. Why did Paul write it the way he wrote it? And so in a sense, they were truly doing what we're calling here the vague reader. They wandered from paragraph to paragraph, or in this case, from verse to verse. They didn't draw any distinctions between their own thinking or the author's thinking. And the author's thinking, Paul's thinking in this case, and their own thinking were often kind of two worlds apart. It made the text completely fragmented. It would be like taking up a novel and looking at the third page and then looking at the 50th page and then looking back at the 30th page and then looking at the 45th page and then maybe the 160th page. It was a fragmented way of looking at it that really was limited in the way it had connections with the text. It is often uncritical. It often, if the author's view doesn't agree with our view and our own beliefs, we judge it to be incorrect. Instead of critically looking at what we're thinking in our own views and saying it's wrong. Now, it wasn't the case in this group the other night, but it is a problem. Again, this is a case where truth is of the utmost concern to us as Christians. It is deceiving ourselves if we read in this way. It's failing to see that we ourselves are undisciplined in how we read. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes cognitive energy to read something correctly, especially something as important as the Word of God. Other disciplines, the same thing. In my scientific readings, in philosophical readings, in theological readings, in psychological, sociological readings, it's all the same thing. It takes a disciplined mind to be able to see that. If you are doing the vague reader, please, I would suggest you try to change. Be focused, be diligent, and try to figure out what the reader, what the author is putting there, and how you, the systems of meaning, and how you agree, disagree, fit into that or not. It is rigid. It doesn't really want to learn from what it reads. It really thinks it's already learned enough. And many times it is intermixed with the prejudices, biases, myths, stereotypes. How many times do we read the scripture with our own cultural glasses on? We see the scripture through the culture that we live in today. I was reading an article the other day, in fact last night, about written by a Christian group that was talking about climate change. and they missed, they were talking about, which is true, that many climate change people are basing their climate change in the cycles that they have gleaned based on the theory of evolution. But the problem is that one, the author himself said they were talking about if humans were causing climate change, if it was happening. The second part was they never talked about the human part of it. They never talked about things like burning fossil fuels that are taking carbon that was sequestered in the ground, carbon dioxide sequestered in the ground as oil, and now we're burning it, and how that might be adding to any natural cycle that was there before. They did not ever get to that. And so they were uncritically, in my opinion, this author was uncritically intermixing their prejudice and bias in his writing that did not then become a valid article. And many times it lacks insights into how our minds create meaning and how reflective minds monitor and evaluate as they read. Again, in the Bible study the other day that I was in, it was sad, I will have to say, that they almost read over the passage, and it was an exercise in trying to get through it as quickly as possible and not reflecting on what it really meant and how it evaluated it, how it applied to them. I was able to interject into that meeting the other day something about how that Paul's method was, and amazingly the group said, wow, that's really cool to see what Paul was writing there. So as you're teaching, as you are being leaders in your churches, please, as you're being examples of what Christ wants you to be, as you're giving the scripture to others, remember that it's important that we read these things correctly and that we understand the scripture, how the author is writing the thing, the logical order within the bigger meta-narrative of the Bible of our fall into sin and God's redemption of us through Christ. The other thing that is the vague reader does is kind of like why I call it the impressionist reader. It reminds me of an impressionist painting. It's kind of a blotch of color here, a blotch of color there, a blotch of color there that makes a very fuzzy look to the painting. If we don't read, if we're a vague reader, we're getting a very fuzzy view of that literary work that we're reading. If it's the Bible, it's even worse. And the end, a lot of times, this really boils down to laziness. This picture here shows a guy who's apparently thinking he'll gain something of the logos in this book by osmosis and sleeping. I'm sorry, folks, it doesn't work. You have to put effort into it. You can't play your book at night and think you're going to learn it in the morning. I've actually had students try that. It didn't work very well. They didn't do well in the exams at all. But we cannot be lazy about how we approach our reading. We cannot be lazy about how we approach, especially the reading of the Word of God. Others depend on it. Us, especially as leaders in the churches, others depend on us to be one to correctly translate and convey the Word of God, but two, to be examples of how we should read the Word of God. So I want to thank you for listening into this. I look forward to seeing you again in the next lecture. I hope that you, as you continue to read and pray, that you do so with all diligence and you don't let these enemies of learning and enemies of the Word of God, because of that, get in your way. God bless and thank you.